Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I've been looking for freedom. I've been looking so long.
Kind of like this. This is what happens. The Phillies take a night off, and make no mistake, this was a night off. Okay, it hasn't rained at 6 o'clock. The Phillies wanted a night off, so we're gonna play David Hasselhoff. Is this called "Looking for Freedom"?
But it is. He sang it as the Berlin Wall toppled from like a crane. It's a wild video if you ever watch it.
Now, did you know about this before you got hooked on Baywatch? Or
I mean, I knew he was a pop star in Europe.
Right, he's a big deal over there.
He's like a TV. It's weird. He's a TV star here, and there he's a music star. Like, they don't even recognize his TV career.
Well, I mean, it's not like it was Emmy Award winning over here. Let's be real.
Baywatch is the longest running show without an Emmy Award.
Well, I'm not surprised. Welcome back. 215-592-9490 for a little Hasselhoff for you on this Thursday night. As, I mean, just torrential downpour out there, right? No way they could.
I don't know how I'm getting home.
I don't know how they could have.
I didn't bring my canoe.
I don't know how they could have played a baseball game tonight. The Phillies postponed. We're having fun with it. I get it. It was really bad for about an hour or so as I drove in, but it hasn't rained since. The Phillies get this night off. Probably better for them. No Neftali Feliz, though. He's gone. He was DFA'd today. Let's talk about all these Phillies things. But Bob Wankel of Crossing Broad as the Phillies definitely at a crossroads here of their season. They are, what, four games now from the midway point. And need to make some big decisions soon. Bob Wankel, Crossing Broad. Bob, how you doing tonight?
Yeah, what's up, man? I really like the David Hasselhoff intro here. I think that's probably the first time I've ever had that happen to me, so I'm excited about it.
You know what, Tucker? I think we may have discovered Bob's new intro music.
You never forget your first Hasselhoff.
That's, yeah, if we can make that a recurring thing, that would be great.
Yeah, well, I mean, as long as Tucker's in charge, it's going to happen. So, yes, we will do that. All right, Bob, Phillies lose last night. They don't play tonight. Feliz DFA'd. There's a lot of ways we go here. Let's just start with the team as they are right now. It's obviously not early. It's getting significantly late, and they have 28 days or so to determine what they're going to do at the trade deadline. What's your guess on what they're going to do? Like, I think they should consider everything, drastic stuff, you know, listening to offers on anyone. My guess is, though, they're going to either be soft buyers or soft sellers when we get to July 30th.
Yeah, I think they have to kind of go into this with an open mind. I mean, it's entirely possible that they get hot and they kind of force the hand of Dave Dombrowski and they have to add prior to the trade deadline. But there's really nothing that's happened this season other than the opening week or really anything that's happened over the last 3 years with this core that would suggest that that's going to happen. So, you know, I think that they have to kind of go into it and say if they're still within striking distance, maybe they make a fringe move or two to add and try to compete here in the second half of 2021. But I also think they should approach this and say, hey, we're willing to listen on some of our better talent. And, you know, not just expiring contracts, not just like a guy, you know, such as Andrew McCutchen, who had a really, really solid month of June, who makes some sense for a team looking for a veteran leader, a right-handed power bat, you know, that can play outfield. You know, so I think they have to listen on guys like Reese Hoskins, you know, and just have conversations, go into it open-minded, because I don't think that there's one clear fix for this team. That's really my one takeaway, having watched nearly half a season now. It's not that they're one obvious move away or two obvious moves away. I mean, I think there's a lot of different ways they can go about this when they approach the trade deadline.
Do you think the division they're in is actually a detriment to them having a clear head here? I mean, I know Dave Dombrowski's been around the block a long time. He's not a young GM who doesn't get it. He's very experienced. But I just fear that they're going to look at the division and it's going to kind of dictate more than it should. Because if they were in – like, Bob, if they were in the Central, they'd be 8 games back in the loss column. If they were in the West, they'd be 12 games back in the loss column. If they were in – the American League East, 10, but they're in the National League East, so you know they could wake up tomorrow 5 or 6 games back in the loss column. Do you think the division could actually be a detriment to them doing the right thing, you know, in 4 weeks or so?
Yeah, I think that that's possible. I mean, really, if they were in the NL East that they were supposed to be in, they wouldn't be within striking distance right now. This division across the board has really been a disappointment. Obviously, Washington has gotten hot recently, and the Mets had a little run there to jump out to the lead, but this is still a very winnable division, and when you consider that the Phillies haven't been in the postseason since 2011, and there's probably some internal expectations that they get there and do the things necessary to get there, considering the price of the right fielder and that they just went out and they re-signed JT Realmuto and they have Zach Wheeler on a big contract, I think that there's still a lot of pressure, you know, from that ownership group to try to do everything they can to compete. And so I don't know that they're going to be able to sell the idea of, hey, let's look to next year. Let's trade some of our better parts. Maybe try to restock our minor league system, whether that's at low A or players that are maybe more ready to contribute in the next year or two. So I do think that the competition and the fact that these teams in this division have struggled so much make this maybe a little bit less obvious of a situation than it otherwise might be.
Bob, let's talk about Joe Girardi here. There's a lot of issues. The manager's not the only reason that they're under 500, but it's been a rough week. I mean, is rough a week for a manager that we've seen here in at least a couple years? At least, you know, Gabe, obviously, when he first started, had a rough opening week. But for an experienced manager, this has been really rough. This past week with the David Hale, Feliz again. It just seems like every button Joe pushes late in games or even in the middle of games, it's not working with the bullpen. What are you seeing? And what's your thought on how he manages this bullpen?
Yeah, I think that the first thing that needs to be said is that the bullpen's not very good. And I don't know that anybody would argue that. I believe that they began the day 22nd in baseball in ERA. So, I mean, it's not a very good bullpen, but I also think he's done a very poor job of managing what he does have, and he hasn't gotten very much out of it. The fact that he went to Natale Feliz on Monday night in Cincinnati to protect a 2-run lead after he had not pitched for 1,400-plus days at the major league level, I think is A, revealing about his confidence level and what he does have. But, more so B, I think it's just another example of his mismanagement of the assets that he has available to him, you know? And then to 2 days later turn around off a disastrous performance and put him in during that fifth inning where the Phillies really needed somebody to come in and stop the bleeding, I don't know if you want to call a tie game in the fifth a high-leverage spot or not, but they needed to kind of shut the door in that inning and stabilize. And to go to Natale Feliz in that spot, was perplexing. It's easy to criticize after the fact when something goes wrong, but that's a move where he's running through the bullpen doors and you go, what the hell is he doing? What are we doing here? And, you know, after the game he talks and says, and I know that you and Howard were talking about this earlier, but, you know, every night it's, well, I didn't have A, B, C, and D available. Well, at some point you have to kind of push these guys and have them go on back-to-back nights. And these games matter right now. The Phillies have to go right now. And so I know he's trying to preserve the health of certain guys and the effectiveness of certain guys in the second half of the season, but you have to win these games now. And you just can't go into every single game with a short card. That's kind of the position that he seems to consistently put himself in. Joe, I got to tell you, I've been thoroughly unimpressed with him. And he seems like a nice guy, and I know that he has the pedigree, but he has fallen woefully short of what I think most people in this city had expected.
Yeah, there's no question on that. There was high expectation, and I think the reality is that, you know, he was managing a stacked team for a long time in New York, and it probably warped our thought of what he is. Bob, speaking of expectations, they were sky high for Alec Bohm coming off of a very successful rookie season. It has not been a good one for him, either offensively or defensively. At least if you squint offensively, you still see something could be there. Defensively, Bob, he's just not a big league third baseman. What do you think they should do with Alec Bohm in the field?
Well, there are two possibilities here, and one of them is certainly not remaining at third base long term. Like, he may play there for the remainder of this season just because there's no clear path, but he's not a major league third baseman, and that is certainly evident at this point. I believe he entered the day the last in defensive runs saved, and I believe he leads all National League third basemen at the very least with 12 errors this season. I mean, he turns routine plays into just absolute butcher jobs on a consistent basis. So what do you do long-term with him? I think that there's two possibilities. One, you move him across the infield and you hope for the DH, and maybe Rhys Hoskins becomes the DH, after this season. Or you trade Rhys Hoskins if you're of the thought that they really need to do something to drastically alter the core of this team. This is a core that doesn't know how to win, hasn't won. And it's one that, quite frankly, I think is in need of a pretty good shakeup. And I think that that's one way to achieve it, because Rhys Hoskins does have some value and has offensive skills that I think other teams may covet that you could get a decent return on. So that opens things up at first base. That's not to say that that's going to be a smooth transition. There's a footwork element to it. There are things that he's going to have to pick up on, the nuances. But maybe long-term he moves across the diamond. The consideration there is that you want your first baseman to have a power tool, which he simply has not demonstrated this season. He hit very well in the month of June. It was encouraging. He got on base, but did not homer. And the extra bases have simply just not been there. The other more short-term solution could be potentially to trade Andrew McCutchen, like I talked about at the beginning here, and then that would free up left field, and you could have him roam around left and see if he's athletic enough to hold his own out there. I mean, that's another possibility, I guess. But Joe, it's very obvious that this guy is not a major league third baseman, and I don't think that this is a situation where more reps or extra ground balls is going to fix it. I just don't think he's meant to play there.
Yeah, and I think he knows it too, which is, I think you kind of see it on his face sometimes. It's hard because that's been his position for a while in his baseball life, but I think even he realizes it's just he can't do it. Bob, another prospect of theirs that is just obviously having a tough time and now back at AAA, Spencer Howard. He started the game Monday, and we'll get to Bailey Falter in a second. It's actually a great bright spot right now. But he could barely go two or three innings in any of these starts. His stuff disappears. He's so good the first time through the order, and then he doesn't. They're sending him back with the idea that this year doesn't really matter in terms of coming back and helping. Just get stretched out, learn how to pitch. Do you think this is the right approach? Because the more I watch him, and he was a relief pitcher back in his college days, I just wonder if he's just a relief pitcher and they're kind of delaying the inevitable of accepting this.
I wonder how much of the optics play into this. Like, this was your prize prospect. This was the guy that you were going to slot in as your number two, number three guy. And to give up on that idea this early on, I guess, could be a bad look. And it looks like some people are, taking the L, so to speak, from a developmental standpoint, And so I think that the Phillies want to do everything possible and exhaust every possibility to make sure that he's not what they had hoped he would be. So I get it. I understand it. I don't think that he could develop as a starter under this current plan where you're running him out there and then rushing him off the mound after two-plus innings, three-plus innings. That's not the way to develop anybody. And I think that they recognize that. I mean, they had skipped his start when they were out west, and he comes in and pitches in a meaningless seventh inning at one point, and he got rocked in the second inning, and he's out there, and just none of it really made any sense. And they've just not really had a clearly defined path or a clearly defined role for this guy since the end of the 2019 season. It's been very, very weird to watch. It's strange, though, because if you prioritize this season, they have a need, and they certainly have a need at the back end of their bullpen, and you look at how effective he's been early on in his appearances, especially the first time that he goes through an order, and you say to yourself, like, man, like, this isn't a part that they could use at the major league level right now. But I think that they're committed to trying to make him a starter. And frankly, it's quite obvious that what they're doing right now is not helping him. So I don't hate the fact that they're kind of pumping the brakes and saying, let's give this one last shot and do it the right way. And of course, it shouldn't have gotten to this point, and it was kind of crazy to watch it get to this point, but that's where they're at.
Yeah, and I understand the optics, and you want to say your top prospect's a reliever, but back in the day, Andrew Miller was a starter, and I know this name is crazy to say, but Mariano Rivera was a starter. This happens sometimes. That doesn't mean he can't become something big in the bullpen. All right, last one, Bob. Bailey Falter, in a week of not many great things to talk about, They may have stumbled into something here, and I guess we give them credit. They helped develop him, but he's pitched well, and it seems like Joe's going to start using him more. He said last night maybe in multiple inning roles, not just the long man now because Spencer Howard's not here needing to be piggybacked. What are you seeing? Because it just seems like, and I know I've seen all the stories about the extension he gets and the release point. His 92 is just jumping on hitters, and I don't think this is that much of a fluke.
No, I don't either. I think there's something to be said for it. I think he has the second longest extension in all of baseball, I read the other day. And certainly hitters look mighty uncomfortable in the box against him. So, yeah, this does look legit. And so long as he continues to locate and mix the way that he has, that fastball, even though it doesn't have that typical velocity that you would want on a high-end arm, it's going to play up a little bit. And I think that's what you're seeing right now. The fear, of course, is that he kind of gets stuck in this weird limbo. I think that right now he's kind of earned a shot to pitch in the back of this rotation. Why not make him the fifth starter? Why not make a young guy with some upside, that guy and give him an opportunity? So my fear is that he becomes this one or two inning guy late in games. Maybe he starts a game and goes three or four innings. I guess what I'm saying is my fear is that he becomes this Spencer Howard, and kind of fills that weird, everyman role. What do we need this week? I'd like to see him have a defined role and see if he can really build off of it. But from just a performance aspect, he's been one of the very, very few encouraging and pleasant surprises of the first half of the season.
Yeah, there's not enough, but he certainly has been one. Bob, we appreciate you hopping on. We'll be reading at Crossing Broad, and we'll talk soon. Thank you.
All right, thanks, man.
There he goes. Bob Wankel of Crossing Broad, talking to the Phillies with us there. Yes, Bailey Falter, the bright spot of the season. Just the way we drew it up when this thing started, $200 million payroll. Bailey Falter, shocking everybody by pitching well. But he's pitched well, and I want to see more of him. 215-592-9494. That's how you get aboard here. As we discuss, lots with the Phillies. And my point is this tonight. After watching this team, and it's not just this year, it's not just a sample of, what do they play now, 77 games? It's not just 77 games this year. It's this year plus the 60 last year, plus the 162 in 2019. And I guess we'll start there, because I think the 2018 team, we almost can't even involve them, right? How many guys on that team were even, how many guys from the 2018 Phillies are even in the big leagues anymore? Forget good big leaguers. Reese, Nola, Eflin, Velasquez, that's four. Knapp, five. I mean, there was a lot of guys in that team that are, I don't think, anywhere near the big leagues anymore. A lot of Austin Davises and Aaron Altairs and Nick Williamses. Michael's still in the league.
With Cesar?
Cesar still starting for the Indians.
Carlos Santana.
Yes.
Jorge Alfaro. Nick Williams?
No. He was for 10 minutes this year. Then he went back somewhere.
Altair, Knapp, Asdrubal Cabrera. He's done, right?
No, he's actually on the... Asdrubal Cabrera is playing for the Diamondbacks, who have lost 50 of 57 games or something.
That makes sense.
Yes.
I mean, that's the least surprising news of the day. Roman Quinn?
Well, not he's hurt.
J.P. Crawford? He's the best left-handed hitter against left-handed pitching this year? He's hitting .340 against lefties this year.
J.P. Crawford has one of the 10 highest wins above replacement in the American League right now? J.P. Crawford is like a borderline all-star.
OPS plus a 112. And playing Gold Glove defense.
I know. For no money. It'd be nice if the Phillies had a guy like that.
What's crazy? There are a lot of trades where you obviously give up the best player in that trade.
Mm-hmm.
Phillies, you could argue, gave up the best two players in that trade for Gene Segura.
Santana.
As good as Gene Segura has been this year, he's had the third best career since then of those guys.
Yeah, Santana, number one, and now JP coming along.
Yeah, Santana was the American League starting first baseman in the All-Star game the very next year.
Yeah,
and now he's in Kansas City.
Yes, now he's a Royal, and J.P. Crawford is emerging here. Yes, so but go to the bullpen. How many guys in that bullpen in 2018 are still in the major leagues? I feel like not many.
Sir Anthony Dominguez?
No.
Tommy Hunter?
No. Oh, he was on the Mets. He might be hurt now.
Victor Arano?
No.
Adam Morgan?
I don't think he's pitched in the big leagues this year.
Luis Garcia?
No.
Hector Neris?
Yeah, he's here.
Edibre Ramos?
No.
Yaxel Rios?
Nope.
Austin Davis?
No.
Pat Neshek?
Nope.
Ben Lively?
No.
Drew Hutchinson?
No.
Eniel De Los Santos?
Yeah, he pitched last night.
Mark Leiter Jr.?
No way.
Jake Thompson?
Nope.
Ranger Suarez, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Anderson?
No.
Zach Curtis?
Nope.
Luis Avalon?
I don't think so.
Eichhoff? He started for the Mets the other night.
He was DFA'd after the game.
Unfortunate. Hobie Milner?
He's a Brewer, I think. He's nasty, brother.
Aaron Loop? He's caught on to somebody.
He's a Met.
Pedro Florimon?
No. Now, Pedro Florimon was a position player Gabe pitched.
Oh, I made it to the end. Because the next three are Roman Quinn, Scott Kingery, and Jesmyl Valentin.
So, quick math on that. I would say 70% of the 2018 pitching bullpen is no longer literally in the major leagues. Is that right? Yeah, that's pretty amazing, considering that team was in first place for a while during that season. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard here. I would blow the entire thing up if I am Dave Dombrowski, who we've heard from to an extent. He does do Dave hops on the Phillies pregame show on WIP, I'd say about once a week, either him or Sam Fuld. So I do respect that they're accountable in that way and they'll talk. I do think, should we have a Dave Dombrowski press conference at some point? Like, shouldn't we hear from this guy? And I don't just mean in and again, this is not a knock on Scott Fransky at all, but that, like, 10 minutes sitting down with Scott Fransky before a game isn't the same thing as having a press conference and taking questions from the media. Like, shouldn't we hear from Dombrowski at some point? Klentak used to meet with the media. Before, I think before every homestand, he would sit in the dugout. I just love the videos of watching it when Howard would ask a question, and you'd see the look on Klentak's face like he wanted to be anywhere else on earth besides answering Howard Eskin's questions. I don't think Dombrowski's had one of those, has he?
Not that I remember.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the pregame show stuff counts the same way. You're not being grilled. First of all, it's one interviewer, so you know that Scott's going to have his questions about the team. They have 10 minutes. It's part of the show. You know, whatever. You know, getting grilled by the people that cover the team, that's different. Yeah, I think it's time to hear from Dave Dombrowski. You know, a press conference before a homestand, let's go. Like, Girardi has to talk every day. We used to do the same thing. Like, Gabe got the brunt of it, but Klentak also took it once in a while. Dombrowski, nothing.
Looks like the last time he talked, obviously we have the sound from his pregame shows in here. He talked on April 19th. About vaccinations?
Yeah, see, like...
And before that, it was opening day on March. March is before April, March 31st.
it's time for Dave to meet with the media. I mean, I don't know what he's... I mean, I know he's busy right now. This is a big month. They have the draft this month. The trade deadline's coming up. Am I asking too much that when the trade deadline passes, he sits down and has a back and forth? Even Andy McPhail used to talk. I mean, the guy put his foot in his mouth every time he spoke. If we don't, we don't. But at least he spoke. It's time to hear from Dombrowski. 215-592-9494. Would you blow it up? If you were Dave Dombrowski, would you put everyone, including Bryce Harper, JT Realmuto, Zach Wheeler, would you put them on the trade block? I would. And give us something from the 90s that is still culturally relevant. We got a few people tweeting us about Baywatch. So,
fans?
No, they're just fans of us bringing it up. Like, this is funny. Because, again, it's not actually culturally relevant anymore.
It's a good conversation topic, though.
Baywatch?
Yeah, because most people have watched it. They may not want to admit it, but they have.
Yeah, you got to know your audience a little bit. I feel like our audience has seen an episode or two.
You have to have.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. It works here as a conversation topic. Anyway, when we get back, I want to play some of you from last night. A former big league manager, he now does pre- and post-game stuff for NBC Sports Chicago, covering the White Sox. I used to love him as a manager. He used to crack me up. And now as a broadcaster, I heard this last night, I watched it, and I said, this guy needs to be doing national stuff all the time. I need to hear his takes. 215-592-9494. Let's say hop aboard on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.